I've just been on the phone to the deputy commissioner. I want to see you working. I want arrests. Drop everything else.
I've been wanting to do this for weeks.
Yeah, me too. I just didn't know you felt the same way.
What is going on around here?
We know that Mac was involved.
Listen, Mac might be bent, but he's not stupid.
You know the deal, Jarvis. You never bring attention to yourself.
Now you've done it, Alex. You went and got Mac all agitated.
This is an outrage.
I made it quite clear to you, Drake. Either with me or against me.
That man's got more decency and courage in his little finger than you'll ever have.
Your loyalty does you credit, Rafe.
Don't you bloody patronise me! No!
Gene tries to prevent Max shooting himself.
It's over. It's all over.
Operation Rose is coming.
Alex is asleep on a stripy golden black sofa, using a bright red cushion as a pillow. There's an empty wine glass on the coffee table in front of her and static on the TV set opposite. Suddenly, Keith Harris and Orville appear on screen.
Marvellous magic. Did it make you feel happy?
Not really.
Why not?
Because I'm a bit sad today.
Oh, Orville, what's the matter?
I'm miserable.
Aww. You're miserable?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm really worried about Alex. I think she's going to die.
Don't worry, she's not going to die. She's at the hospital. When she arrived there were two beautiful bouquets of flowers for her, weren't there?
I know.
Didn't it make you happy?
No.
You should be happy. You should be happy. I've made it to the hospital. Oh, no, come back.
The TV returns to static despite Alex changing channel. A lorry charges along a road, with an unmarked police car in pursuit flashing its lights. Jean's behind the wheel, honking for the lorry to pull over, and it eventually does. Beside Jean in the passenger seat is Alex.
I told you, I'm having nothing to do with this.
You girl.
Ray and Jean open the car's boot to reveal a man bound and gagged with tape. Chris questions the lorry driver.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, monsieur. Have a view on license?
While Chris distracts the driver, Alex looks on disapprovingly as Jean and Ray carry the man to the back of the lorry and shove him inside.
Le voilà.
Now go and be a pain in the derriere for the bloody gendarmerie. Because we are sick of the sight, have you got it?
Bon voyage, scumbag.
They slam down the back shutter and give the V sign as the French lorry drives away.
Well, I hope you're all proud of yourselves.
As low as his sperm count, you know, it's been medically proven.
That's bollocks.
Chaz did say that having babies was pretty high on her agenda.
Chris chucks his fag.
Have you seen this, Guff? It's all about Mac and Jarvis. They might as well point a finger at every one of us.
Police corruption rife, shocking revelations.
Why can't these brain-dead pissheads have a go at somebody else?
Yeah, like mime artists.
Some kid even gobbed in my face this morning just because I was a copper. Mime artists?
Yeah, all that.
Chris mimes pulling a rope, much to everyone's bemusement.
Get a job.
You think the press knows something about Operation Rose?
Listen, if there's any digging to be done on Operation Rose, it'll be done by us, not them. In the meantime, we need something to suck them up like a bloody big collar.
Burglar at number 2 Stanley Road, Gov. You still near there?
Stanley Road?
Give it to Plod, Viv.
It's Brian. Well, come on, let's go.
Well, who's Brian?
It's Pete's dad. Just start the car.
Who's Pete?
He's Molly's father. We've got to get to the Drakes.
The Drakes? Well, don't tell me they have the misfortune to be related to you.
Well, this is going to be seriously weird.
That'll make a nice change.
Jean growls the car into life and hurtles through a darkened underpass.
My name is Alex Drake. I've been shot and that bullet's taken me back in time. Now I'm lost in 1982 and all I can do is fight and search and stay alive. Because somehow, I will find a way home.
BBC. Ashes to Ashes. Starring Philip Glenister, Healy Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshal Lancaster, and Montserrat Lombard. Co-created by Ashley Farrow and Matthew Graham, written by Julie Rutherford. Jean's red car pulls up outside a house that has an ambulance parked in the driveway. Alex hurries out and heads towards the front door as medics bring a man out.
All right, step down.
Brian, are you okay?
Right, what's your step?
Too late.
Brian's nursing a head wound.
We'll follow on. Brian?
He can't hear you. I'm so sorry. If I'd thought instead of being so caught up with everything, I could have done something.
It's all gone a bit, Martina. Never had to that tennis bird, hasn't it?
Alex hugs the woman.
I'm so sorry.
Who are you?
Police, love. She takes her community relations very seriously.
Later, in the chintzy front room...
There might be some dabs on some of this stuff, Gov.
Leave it for forensics. It's their job. Come on, we're going.
Well, we can't just leave her. Marguerite, we'll do everything we can to help you, won't we, Inspector Hunt?
You know what's missing, Mrs. Drake?
Money, jewellery, and a necklace that I was wearing. Brian tried to stop the man. In the struggle, he was pushed, hit his head on that table there.
How much money was taken?
About £1,000. Brian's never trusted banks. Peter, love, could you put Molly out for me?
Yeah, OK. Come on, Mose.
Seeing the teenaged boy with dark hair holding a black kitten, Alex follows him. Confused, Jean stops in the door before turning back to Marguerite and forcing a smile. As Peter's letting Molly go in the back garden...
Oi! How could you? How could you abandon Molly like that?
What? I wouldn't abandon her.
Yeah, well then, how come when she's 6 months old, you just bugger off never to be seen again?
Has anyone ever told you you're a bit weird?
And has anybody ever told you that you can't go around accusing detective inspectors of being weird, especially ones who are really pissed off? How old are you, Pete?
14. And it's Peter.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, Peter. Look at you. You're almost cute.
Jeez.
Yeah, I said almost.
Why are you giving me such a hard time? Shouldn't you be trying to find the burglar?
Where were you when your dad was attacked?
I was at school. Mum called and they told me to come home. When I got back here, she was crying.
You know, you're going to have to be really strong for her. Think you can do that?
Do my best.
Yeah.
He's left baffled and scratching his head. In the hall...
I'm going to let forensics deal with it now, Mrs. Drake.
Hello.
Marge? What's with the police car outside?
We've been burgled. Brian's in hospital.
Oh, my God.
And who might you be?
Going to Mason. Makeup round.
Spanish?
Sorry?
Hola.
Spanish boyfriend. Ex. Found him do a bit more than the Fandango with my best friend, so I told him where to shove his castanets. Is Brian all right?
We don't know yet. I've got to go and see him. Could you look after Peter?
Yeah.
Only if it's no trouble.
Least I could do, Marge. Hope you're going to keep those baby blues peeled for him, officer.
The buxom blonde shoots Ray a look for leering before heading into the kitchen.
What did he look like?
Quite tall. London accent. Not that he spoke much. Just asked us to keep quiet.
And what about his face?
He wore a mask. Of Margaret Thatcher.
Metal Mickey.
Jean and Chris head out. Mickey, a stocky man with receding hair, has his head shoved down a toilet by Jean.
I told you I ain't done nothing.
You're the only one who wears a Thatcher mask on the job.
I'm telling you, it wasn't me.
Raymondo.
All right.
Ray half-heartedly punches Mickey in the stomach.
Are you ill?
No, why?
You only hit him once.
Sorry, Gov.
Ray has another go. Alex enters.
Didn't you say he's got a metal plate in his head?
Yes. Funny look, he might be picking up that new channel.
I've only seen that countdown on it. Proper ambulance chase the telly. It'll never last.
Of course it won't. TV in the afternoons. The students with greasy hair and the clinically insane.
And my Auntie Irene. Mind you, she is insane. She thinks she's married to Malcolm Muggeridge.
I hate to interrupt, but there's a man over there beating to a pulp. Excuse me.
Alex hauls Ray off the pummeled Mickey.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Don't ask him difficult questions, Drake. He'd have coughed by now. Well, this has been about as useful as a new pair of slippers for Douglas Bader. Let's get back to some real work, shall we?
Ray kicks Mickey for good measure.
I've had it with a shit.
You can't be sure it's not him.
Oh, I can.
Look, he's the only one who wears a mask.
Forget it.
Look, this case will affect people for years to come. That might not matter to you, but it matters to me.
The only thing that matters right now is us getting our headline, not fanning about with a case that Plod should be dealing with.
He strides away purposefully. Later, Alex finds Peter standing in a hospital corridor with his hands in his jean pockets.
You've been to see your dad?
Seen him. He was asleep.
Well, he might be awake now.
I hate hospitals.
I know. That's a football shirt, isn't it?
Yeah. Gwenda gave it to me. She might take me to see a match sometime.
All right, even though you hate football. Going because you fancy her, right?
No, I don't know.
That's where she gets it from.
Sorry.
When you lie, you always tend to look down. I know a little girl who does that.
No, I don't.
He says, looking down. Alex smirks.
How come she seems to know so much about me?
Female intuition.
Alex walks onto a busy ward, where Marjorie's at Brian's bedside.
Sorry. Don't mean to intrude. I just wanted to see how it was.
He's very woozy after the op. There's a chance it might be permanent damage to his hearing. Oh, I keep doing that. I forget he can't hear.
Would you like me to sit with him?
Well, he wouldn't expect you to.
No, I'd like to.
Thanks, I won't be long.
Marjorie gives her a warm smile and goes. Brian's lying on his back in bed with a dressing over the right side of his forehead. There's a drip connected to his arm. Alex sits, and after hesitating...
I know you can't hear me, Brian. And I can't change what's happened. I'm kind of learning that now. But I want you to know that you will cope with this. You know, when Pete left me with Molly, you were the one person who made me believe that it wasn't the end of my life, the end of my career. And this isn't the end of your career either. You know, you once told me that taking up painting again was the best thing you ever did. I've still got the painting you did of Molly. Somewhere. You're gonna be such a fantastic granddad. And I won't rest until I find out who did this to you.
Right, if anyone here is anything less than squeaky clean, you pack your things and get the hell out. If the shit sticks to one of us, it sticks to all of us. And I, for one, have had enough. It stops here. I'm the sheriff. I say we keep it clean. Got it?
Yes,
good. We need a decent headline.
Ray's completing an army recruitment form.
Now, what else do we know about Mickey Dillon?
He used the mask on two other jobs, Mum. Same area.
Good, sir. So he's local. Did he know the Drakes?
The others are ignoring Alex.
Am I talking to myself?
Did somebody say something, then?
It's not funny, Carling. A man has been seriously injured, and we have to find out who's done it. Now, I wish I could remember all the details, but I can't, so I need your help. And whether you like it or not, Metal Mickey is the only lead that we've got.
Jean.
What are you doing, Drake?
I'm trying to solve a crime, Gov. It is what I'm paid for.
Chris is tapping his pencil on a file distractedly.
Chris.
Jean chucks something from a desk at his head.
Oi!
What?
What's up with you? You got a wasp stuck up your arse?
Given up on the fags, hasn't he? Puff. He'll crack by tonight. I've got a fiver on it.
Tenor says he'll crack before.
Have you listened to anything I just said?
Yes, Gov.
Dabs are in on that robbery at the Drakes's, Gov.
It's not our case, Viv.
You might want to reconsider.
Jean snatches the file from Viv. Alex looks on with interest.
This is a wind-up.
No, Gov. They're his.
Whose?
George Staines.
You're joking.
Can't be.
No way.
Are you George Staines?
Well, isn't this where you all usually run out, shouting, let's get the bastard?
Except the bastard in question has been 6 feet under for 2 years.
Well, then these can't be his dabs.
Exactly. Do you know what? Looks like we might have just got ourselves a headline.
A pebble-dashed suburban semi.
You got any Vickies, Mrs. Staines?
Tin. Jean locates the tin on the kitchen table. Inside, under the flapjacks, are a stack of banknotes. He shares a curious look with Alex standing beside him. Wearing leather gloves, Jean checks the money, folds it, and puts it back before looking towards the front room, the orange glow of a gas heater. Elsie Staines, a grey-haired elderly woman, is in a chair beside it.
Hi. Sahara in here, Elsie.
Yeah, smashing, isn't it?
Here we are. How old was George in this one?
11. Little bugger. Never smiled in any of his school photos. Hated the place.
Was he bullied?
No, he felt he never fitted in. George's favourites.
Well, you still make them for him, even though he's not here.
Used to sit where you are now. Playing all the old songs, polishing off the flapjacks, and me singing along, Don't Fence Me In. He used to love that one.
Well, you make him sound like a little angel, Elsie.
Sometimes it's like he's right here with me now. Daft, isn't it, when he's brown bread?
Did George know the Drakes at all? Stanley Road, a couple of streets away from here.
He might have done.
Marjorie and Brian?
Oh, I'm not very good with names, dear. I'd know him if I saw him.
It's just that something a little bit strange has happened. George's fingerprints were found over at the Drakes. They've been burgled.
How did they get there? Must be a mistake. Much taken?
About a grand.
Oh.
Mr. Drake was quite badly hurt. He's a lovely, lovely man.
Oh, poor sod.
You got any savings, Elsie?
On my pension? Excuse me, Pebble Mills on and I never miss.
Just one other thing, Elsie, love. It was you that identified George's body, wasn't it?
No, dear. It was Metal Nicky.
Outside.
Right. Getting Metal Nicky and the rest of the Staines gang back in now. Bastard stitched me up like a kipper.
Even if Staines is alive.
Well, that slimy bastard's alive, all right. Must have stashed his money and Elsie's biscuits in.
Doesn't mean to say that he burgled the Drakes. I mean, we talk about someone who doesn't think twice about kneecapping people.
Brian Drake didn't exactly escape with just a scratch, did he?
No, but it's not Staines' M.O. I mean, look, if it was a well-known gangster or something, I'd remember.
You remember?
Yeah. But just trust me, it can't be George Staines.
Well, does it say who it can be in your crystal ball, Madam Fruitcake?
Ray barges through a lineup of gang members.
George Staines. Who's seen him? Come on, someone's seen him. Someone's hiding him. You've all worked for him.
He snuffed it.
Ah, but has he? Come on, someone speak up. It's worth a few quid.
A wad of notes.
Last bloke what said anything about George Staines was him. He could have played for Millwall, I know. Couldn't you, Charlie?
He's missing a leg.
He's still good.
The gang members are not amused.
Joke. It's a joke.
Gov, commissioner's been on. I want you to call him.
I'll deal with Mickey.
In front of my desk with a newspaper headline that says time to vent the Met. What's this all about, Hunt? I want the next thing I hear about you and your rotten department is that you've made a decent collar.
Mickey blows cigarette smoke at Chris as Alex enters the interrogation room.
That's right.
Dunno.
She shuts the door and sits opposite Mickey.
Come on, Bungle. Where's George?
Stepney Cemetery. Where else would he be?
Results Hunt and good ones. If I smell even a whiff of funny business in this department again, I'll come down on you like a...
You robbed the Drakes.
I told you, I've never heard of them.
Stop pissing us about, Mickey!
If you don't cooperate with us, I swear to you I will personally see to it that your nuts get squeezed very tightly in a vice. So unless you want to end up with a voice like a BG, I suggest you start telling us the truth. Did you burgle the Drakes?
No.
Hey, Hunt, so sort this mess out now. I want a decent headline for the Met by Monday morning, or I'll have you and Yates.
Keep an eye on him, Chris.
Chris nods calmly as Alex storms out.
Lost your sperm count. It's been medically proven.
Mickey blows smoke at him in defiance.
I've got 5 kids. Sure they're all yours?
Mickey and Chris smirk, but then after a moment, Mickey frowns in thought.
Jess, where's Ray?
Don't know, Mum. Why?
I can't find him anywhere.
Maybe gone off in a sulk. Him and Chris have been in a funny mood all day.
Is the gov still on the phone to the commissioner?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with everyone. Chris shouted at me when I asked him what he was doing. Can't seem to do right for doing wrong.
Nicotine withdrawal.
I thought he was just being a pain in the arse.
In the station locker room, Alex finds Ray finishing his army recruitment form.
Ray? What are you doing in here?
On a break.
Look, Mickey isn't giving anything away, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I thought maybe you could persuade him.
What's the point?
Ray, I know you're angry about Mac.
Yeah, bloody right I am. I looked up to him, we all did. Why? All he's done is piss on our reputation.
There are good, honest families out there like the Drakes who need us.
Ray shakes his head dismissively and then pretends to be reading a paper. But once Alex has gone, he sighs heavily. He strides into the interrogation room and up to Mickey.
Stick his head down the bug again?
Could do. I shouldn't have had that chicken curry down the canteen.
Lethal.
You wouldn't.
You would. Colin?
All right!
It's all right. I don't know nothing about the job and the Drakes, but what I do know is George ain't dead. He paid me to identify his body, except it was some old tramp that had been burnt in a fire. George made sure his sovereign ring was found on the body. Told me he wanted to disappear to Spain. It's the last I saw of him.
The man who was buried was a tramp. Staines paid Mickey to identify him.
Good work, Raimondo. Cheers, Gov.
We find Staines. I need this colour or the commissioner's going to have my bollocks in a blender.
If I may paraphrase Dorothy Parker, I don't think we should put all our eggs in one bastard.
What other bastard have we got? We don't still think it's Mickey.
I don't know, but there might be somebody else in the frame now.
Well, who is he?
She. Mickey says Staines went to Spain. Who do we know who had a Spanish boyfriend?
Gaynor Mason. Pally with a Drake family, aren't you, Gaynor?
Got to know them over months, yeah.
Got to know their comings and goings. Well, they kept things in the house, like Brian Drake's wages.
You're accusing me of stealing from Brian.
Or maybe you told George where the money was kept.
George?
As in George Staines.
Jean passes Gaynor a mugshot of the fresh-faced George.
Your Spanish boyfriend.
The dead gangster.
Who mysteriously seems to have come back to life.
Blimey. How'd he manage that?
Don't piss us about, sweetheart. You've got a make-up round in his old stomping ground. He's been in Spain, you speak Spanish. The Drakes were burgled, you know the Drakes. Coincidence?
In a word, yes.
In a word, crap. Tell you what, why don't you mull it over for the night? In a cell.
Gaynor squirms slightly.
I'm telling you she knows something.
Yeah, maybe.
A gentleman came in earlier. Mum asked me to give you this.
What do you look like?
Mid-50s, smart suit, about the same height as the girl.
Did he leave a name?
Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson? For
friend of yours?
I don't know yet.
The card reads Luigi's 1015. In a cell, Gaynor to Ray.
Do I look like the sort of woman that hangs around with gangsters?
She perches on a crude bed and crosses her legs seductively.
Is that a yes or a no?
Ray lights a fag.
Is that all I'm gonna get?
Yeah.
You're very tense, aren't you? DS Carling.
Am I?
Yeah. Like a coiled spring. Still, I suppose it must be hard in your game, having to play the tough man all the time. I bet beneath that hard shell of yours is a softer side people never see, eh?
No.
Can't kid a kidder.
She smooths down her black tights, and he catches himself leering.
You're a bit like Clint Eastwood, aren't you?
Am I?
Yeah. Strong, silent type. Brooding. The big hero.
The days a cop was being seen as heroes, love are gone. We're not even liked. In fact, we're hated by some.
What'd you do instead?
Join the army. Could be a Falklands again, any time. Don't need good men like me.
Yeah, but a dead hero's no use to anyone, is he?
Frowning thoughtfully, he turns and leaves. A newspaper headline. Time to vet the Met. Jean stares at it and then rises from his office desk. Alex is on the phone.
But yeah, it's Brian Drake. It's Brian with a Y. You know, you're only replacing one vice of another one, baby.
No. No Bovril.
No. Fine.
I want everyone in early to want to work on the Staines case. I want my headline. Right, call you in a pint.
I'm busy tonight.
Well, you got a better offer?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the older man, Boris Johnson. You better not keep him up too late before he sleeps into his cocoa. Or should that be his Molotov cocktail?
What?
Well, he's Russian, isn't he?
No, he's English, as far as I know.
Is it serious?
It could be, yeah.
Right, good. Well, have fun with Boris.
Jean follows the others out, leaving Alex staring down at the appointment card. That evening, she's waiting at a candlelit table for two. After gazing around impatiently, she suddenly becomes aware of something under the breadbasket. It's another floral-motifed card reading, "Sorry I missed you." At the station, a light spills into a corridor from the offices, where Alex is writing on the evidence whiteboard. Staines returns. Why? A shadowy figure passes in the corridor. It's a middle-aged man with medium-length blonde hair in a side parting. Having lit a cigarette, he enters and fixes Alex with a confident stare. Alarmed, she fumbles for a gun from her drawer and points it at him.
Hello, Alex.
Who are you?
My name is Martin Summers.
You stay where you are.
Go ahead, shoot. Though I have to warn you that you may be getting rid of the one person who could help you here. So, don't be scared.
You make intimidating phone calls. You send me roses like some sort of crazed stalker. You try and poison me. You shouldn't be scared.
Well, I had to make sure you were the person I was looking for. And you are. There aren't a lot of people here from the other world. Apparently, you and I are the only two.
She cocks the gun and aims again.
Trying to spook me out with this.
If I were to say to you, you've been shot in the head, You've just arrived at the hospital. And Molly is on her way to see you. Would that help convince you?
Alex looks stunned. Her eyes moisten, and she lets out a small involuntary gasp.
Is that why you're here? To help me get home.
You and I are the only two people here who actually know what that means.
Summers laughs as he turns his back on Alex.
Still, it is a relief to talk about it, yes? As for helping you, well, that depends. Very clinical. Much easier cross-referencing DNA, I find, though, don't you?
You're a cop?
Yes. Retired.
And disgraced.
You know about Operation Rose? That's why you sent me the roses, isn't it?
Operation Rose could be your exit route.
It's about police corruption. Mac, he warned us about it.
Won't be pretty. But how much do you want to see your daughter again?
If you're so sure you can get me home, why are you still here?
You're not the only one who's dying here, Alex. Mine is a very slow and painful death. But here, I can live the life I want. I could go back, but I don't want to. You, on the other hand, have a decision to make as to what you're willing to do to have that chance.
You want me to be corrupt?
Think about it, Alex. In 6 months' time, when Molly's face has faded from your memory, you'll be begging me to help you. I haven't got much time to wait for an answer. And sadly, neither of you.
Summers leaves. Breathing heavily, Alex shakily lowers her gun. Next day...
Jazz, can I ask you a favour? Will you find out everything you can about a man called Martin Summers?
He's a suspect, ma'am.
Not exactly, no.
A witness.
Not really. It's, I'm sorry to be vague, but it could be something really important to me.
A matter of life or death?
Yeah, possibly.
By me. Anything else to go on?
He's a retired cop, mid-50s.
I'll see what I can find out.
Thanks, Jazz.
OK, I'll see.
Gov. She lied to us yesterday. What makes you think she won't lie to us again today?
Who says she lied?
Come on, Gov, she knew that money was in the biscuit tin.
Elsa's not a sponger. She never took a penny from any of Staines' jobs. I'll lay you 6 to 4, she didn't even know the money was in there.
Well, why'd you call her in then?
Because George thought the cock-eyed world of his mum. We keep her in here, he's going to start wondering where she is.
What about Gaynor Mason?
Nothing. I'll have to let her go. You ready, Elsie, love?
See you later.
OK, Elsie, and you, darling. You look after yourself.
Smashing, laddie. Lovely teeth.
Lovely teeth. Now then, Elsie, you're going to be a good girl and tell us where your naughty boy is, then?
You know where he is. 6 feet under.
You trying to send me gogo?
Gaynor.
Oh, hello again, dear.
Elsie, how do you know Gaynor?
Who?
The lady you just said hello to.
Oh, she popped in yesterday for a cuppa. Said she was an old friend of George's.
What are you two waiting for? Go get her back in now.
In an interview room.
Word of advice, Blondie. Don't think about lying through those pearly whites again or you'll be seeing me in your nightmares for the rest of your life.
I wasn't lying.
Bollocks. You knew Staines wasn't dead.
He is dead. At least the George you knew. He isn't the man you think he is. He is trying to change.
Rearrange the following words. Change never leopard spots.
I know he hurt people. I swear, I had no idea he was going to rob Marjorie and Brian. I couldn't believe it. I felt so bad for him.
But not bad enough that you couldn't come to us. How could you do that to him?
I'm sorry.
Where is he, Gaynor? You're not leaving here till you tell us.
What's it worth?
We don't respond to bribery.
I thought this was the Met. A grand.
A grand? What are you, one of these alternative comedians? Meaning alternative to funny.
All right. 500.
A ton.
Gaynor places her hand on Jean's.
Meet me halfway, Inspector.
Okay.
Alex rolls her eyes.
Get him to meet you at one of his old haunts. The Peacock Boozer Stepney.
He doesn't go in for pubs as much as he used to.
You just make sure he's there tonight, 7 p.m. on the dot, and don't even think about doing a runner.
In these eels. Haven't you forgotten something?
She rubs her fingers together.
Cash on delivery.
Shuffling cards.
It's the perfect bloody get-in, isn't it? Use a friendly blonde to case the joint for you and bingo. He's in.
How could she do that to them? She's supposed to be their friend now. Brian's deaf for the rest of his life.
You don't know that.
I do.
Alex turns to face the wall.
Bowles, don't cry. That's an order.
I'm not.
Tears roll down Alex's cheeks.
Now, if you don't stop crying, I might even start feeling sorry for you. And God forbid, I might even have to put a comforting arm around you.
Alex calms herself and turns to face Jean.
Better stop then. If only I could have done something.
Can't blame yourself.
Oh, you don't understand. You can never understand. If I'd remembered, then I could have stopped it.
Listen to me. We have the public's faith in us going down faster than Linda Lovelace. If there's one thing that I can be sure of, it's that Gene Hunt will find this maggot and put him away till the end of his days. Come on, dry your eyes, Bowles. We've got scum to catch.
Nighttime. Sitting in Jean's red coupe, he and Alex watch Gaynor stride along a wide path through an estate. Jean speaks into his radio.
Ray, Chris is on her way.
Roger, copy.
Ray and Chris are staking at the Peacock Pub. Ray drags on a cigarette, then blows the smoke at Chris, who looks miserable.
Go on, have one.
No way. It's a filthy habit. I feel better for giving up. Fitter.
This is a waste of time, this is. The Gov reckons that everything will be all hunky-dory if we get stains. I reckon it's too late. Rot's setting.
We can't let him get off with it, can we? We're coppers, we catch criminals. It's what we do best.
Ray, is he there yet?
No, not yet, Gov.
Chris, check inside the pub, see if she's in there or stains. Ray, check down the street.
Will do. Over.
She reeled you in.
She can't just vanish, she'll show.
Hook, line and sinker.
Ray runs to within sight of Jean and Alex and whistles. They turn to look and he beckons urgently.
Oh, Jesus.
Just found a lion here.
She's still breathing.
I think so. Clouted with that.
A piece of rock.
We should have kept a closer eye on her.
Yeah, there's a pulse.
Looks like Staines found her before we did. What's the twig that she was setting him up?
George Staines is a vicious bastard, so why didn't he finish her off?
Maybe he thought he had.
Which means he's still out there somewhere. Right, when the ambulance gets here, you two can accompany Goldilocks here at the hospital.
Right, Gov.
Mum?
Drake.
Just had a call from your mum. Thought you might want to hear this.
Discharged himself. He never did like hospitals. The doctors say his hearing may come back in time. Stay positive, isn't that what they say?
Yeah. Hello, Brian.
It came in the afternoon post. I've only just opened it. We haven't long been back from the hospital. It's £500.
Was there a note?
Nothing.
Gaynor.
What's Gaynor got to do with this?
Well, we think she might have had something to do with the robbery, love.
Gaynor?
Where's Peter?
In his room. I think he's a bit shaken by it all, actually. He won't say. You know what lads are.
Yeah. Would you like me to have a chat?
Would you?
Yeah.
Peter's sitting on his bed. On a notepad, he's drawn an elaborate doodle of the name Susie with a small love heart beneath it.
Can I come in?
He looks up at Alex, then returns to his doodling. Alex sits down beside him, looking slightly perplexed as the springs of the mattress creak beneath her.
I'd forgotten it did that.
She stands up, and Peter looks vaguely puzzled.
Susie, your girlfriend?
Kind of. I can't work her out sometimes.
You just have to remember the basics, really. Like, if she's in a really bad mood because she's got PMT, you don't say that she's in a really bad mood because she's got PMT. Oh, and if you ever go driving across France with her and you run out of petrol and you break down, you're stuck in the pissing rain for bloody hours, do not blame her map reading skills.
Peter puts down his pad. Alex spots some strands of tobacco on a book.
Where'd you get the money to buy dope?
I don't smoke it.
Yeah, I've seen you. I know where you keep it.
Don't go.
A blue box.
What's this necklace doing here? Is this the one your mum... This is the necklace that was stolen. Is this the bad thing you did when you were a teenager? You're a thief!
Peter legs it out of the house and Alex gives chase. Jean catches up with Alex as she stands catching her breath at the end of a street.
It's him! He is the thief!
What?
How did the money get back to his parents' house? What's he doing with his mom's stolen necklace? Where's he get the money from to buy weed? He's too bloody lazy to get a job.
He's only 14.
No, he'd rather lay around in bed all day working on the novel that only exists in his head.
Have you been at the gin?
You don't know what he's like. He is untrustworthy, two-timing, two-faced, spineless, selfish little shit.
Jean's radio.
Good. What?
Down the hospital.
Come on.
Gaynor's asleep in a hospital bed, her head heavily bandaged.
Well, it seems there's more to Gaynor Mason than meets the eye, Gov. About 6 inches more.
Sweet jumping Jesus. I have seen a woman from Hazel Grove put gerbils somewhere a gerbil should never go. I've seen a bloke from Billericay balance a budgerigar on his Hampton Wick, but I have never, ever seen anything like that before.
I just don't get it. The top half, I mean, those melons, they were the real deal, but down the old goal end.
Bloody great big knob. It's like something out of a German porn film. Apparently.
Gender reassignment. There's a sex change, but he's only had half the op.
I must have had the surgery to the face done at the same time, because you just wouldn't know him.
Well, you didn't, did you?
I mean, who put themselves through all that pain?
Just you wait, boys. Before you know it, you'll all be asking for a back crack and sack.
Is that yuppie speak for Rice Krispies?
I mean, whatever next? Norman Hunter dresses up in frilly frocks. Jeff Capes starts playing with Barbie dolls. Elton John fancies blokes. I don't get it.
So, down below, he was going to have it,
Well, actually, what they do is they tuck it up inside.
Oh, no.
Well, he certainly caught the attention of you three. You all lied him up.
Bloody rubbish.
No way.
No, we never.
Bollocks. She's awake. Gov, she's mid-reassignment. Maybe I should deal with it. Could be sensitive.
Sometimes your lack of faith in me seriously disappoints D.I. Drake.
He shakes the bedstead.
Wake up, Gloria. Oh. So when were you going to say toodaloo to the old todger, then?
Where am I?
In about 6 feet of very brown stuff. You'd better start talking or you'd be saying goodbye to your gonad sooner than you think, Staines.
I'll only talk if you call me by my name. Gaynor.
Why the hell should I when you're still half George, still the same thieving scumbag you always were?
I'm not. I've changed, I told you.
Bollocks. Once a scroat, always a scroat. It's in your genes.
Guff.
Come on, George, be a good boy. Start talking.
Not until you call me by my name. Gaynor.
I'll call you what I damn well want, you gender bender, weirdy, beardy, freak of nature.
Gaynor kicks Jean, then runs from the room. Chris and Ray chase her down a corridor to some double doors. Ray grins smugly when she finds them locked, but Gaynor turns and shoulder charges him. She runs into Chris, who knees her in the stomach, and she doubles up in agony. So come on, let me know. A doctor, two nurses, and some patients look on in horror.
What?
Back in a bed.
I needed the money to pay for the rest of the op.
Where did you have the breast augmentation?
Spain. They ripped me off.
Who only gave you one tit?
Up the price. Said they'd tell the authorities if I didn't pay more.
Why did you have to hurt Brian?
It was a mistake. Him and Marjorie weren't meant to be there. I was just desperate for the money, for the op. To be the person I always knew I was.
So, why did you come back to the Drakes?
I knew I'd left me dabs there. Marjorie asked me to look after Peter, then I was stuck. I don't blame him for what he did.
What did he do?
He saw me wearing his mum's necklace. Chased after him. He thought I was going to attack him or something. He picked up a brick. I felt a thud on the back of my head. Next thing I'm in here.
Why did you go and see Elsie?
Say goodbye. When I saw her, I felt bad. Bent over with rheumatism, still struggling to make ends meet.
So you left her the money in the tin?
Promise me one thing. Don't tell her the truth. It'll break her heart.
You, my little tranny friend, are in no position to make demands. Sending scum like you down might restore the public's faith in us a little bit. Ray, cuff him. Her.
In a hospital corridor...
So you're going to tell Elsie?
No choice.
I wonder if this counts as one arrest or two.
Chris sniggers and leads Ray to cuff gainer.
Sorry, Ray.
Yes, Carly.
Decided yet?
On what?
They're on me.
No, not yet.
You'd be a hell of a loss to the police.
Buttering me up is not going to stop me putting these on you. So forget it.
I mean it. I want to go to sleep at night knowing there's cops like you, helping keep good people like my mum safe. Besides, khaki's not your colour.
Gaynor winks at him.
Why's your face all red? Well, because it's hot in here.
A framed photo of George Staines. Jeans with Elsie.
Why did you give the Drake family that 500 quid?
What 500 quid?
The 500 quid that was in that tin.
What's that?
Must have been a bit of a shock finding all that money in there, eh?
I'll say. I've no idea how it got there. But when you told me about that poor Brian Drake, I read about it in the papers, I felt sorry for him.
You could have kept it for yourself and had a holiday in the Bahamas.
Except it wasn't mine, was it? Anyway, what do I want to go to the bleeding Bahamas for? Can't take the heat, me.
Jean smiles, glancing at the bright red glow of Elsie's gas fire. Alex knocks at Peter's open bedroom door. Peter's sitting on the bed.
Why didn't you tell me what had happened? Instead of running away like that.
Because I thought I'd be in big trouble. I could have killed her. I thought I had. You won't say anything?
Well, technically, you've assaulted someone.
Will I go to jail?
Possibly. And you'll probably end up sharing a cell with a great big bloke covered in scars and tattoos who'll call you his bitch. I'm just kidding. It depends.
On what?
Will you promise me something?
Okay.
You look after your mum and dad.
I will.
Good. And be really nice to whoever you end up with. Whether it's Susie or a girl called Alex, be especially nice to her.
Right.
Yes, yeah, spoiler rotten. Flowers, chocolates, Jimmy Choo's. Shoes.
Peter sighs.
And look after Molly. That's really important. It's never too late, Peter.
Alex heads out. Molly appears from under Peter's bed and he dangles a cat toy with a tiny bell on it for her to play with. Just the two of us. Coming downstairs, Alex smiles at Marjorie.
Bye, Marjorie. Everything will be all right. Thank you. We look
for love. Alex hugs her and smiles at Brian, who's sitting in an armchair in the cosy, old-fashioned living room. Heading out of the front door, Alex turns to look up at Peter's bedroom window when she hears him rap on it. He winks and forms a pistol with his finger.
Creep.
It's an easy mistake to make. I mean, that boy George, he looks like a woman.
Yeah, you fancied him before I told you.
I did not.
Did?
Well, you drop it, Shaz. Shut it, you.
Shaz takes a banknote from her purse.
What's that for?
Fags.
Could buy nearly 5 packs for that.
I know. Get 5, get 10, get 20, I don't care. But please, please start smoking again. Because I can't take much more of you being a whinging narc.
I haven't been a whinging narc, have I?
Yes. Now, come on. We should be just in time for the flicks.
What was he?
Tootsie.
Having put on her coat, Shaz goes over to Alex's desk.
By the way, Mum, there wasn't any record of that Summers bloke. Not with the information you gave. There's nothing. Sorry.
No. Well, there wouldn't be, would there? I mean, he's not supposed to be here. Like me. Thanks anyway, Shaz.
No problem, Mum. Have a good night.
You too.
Night, Mum.
What's that all about?
I ain't got a clue.
Gene's sitting at his desk in his office. He sips from a glass tumbler of whiskey, a half-empty bottle at his elbow. Alex wanders in and leans against a display unit.
You know, I thought I knew it all, Bowles. Now I'm beginning to wonder. Maybe I know the square root of Jack's shit.
This is where I'm supposed to disagree with you.
It's just my luck. I could retire on this. Be known as the bloke who collared George Staines when all around failed.
Still could.
Won't break his mum's heart. It's not her fault she loves him.
What did you tell her?
Gaynor Mason's been arrested for the robbery.
Of course you did. Which is why George Staines never gets sent down. Damn you, Gene Hunt.
Why? What have I done now?
Because despite all the macho put-downs, the insults, the pathetic sexist sideswipes, underneath it all, you're a good, kind, decent man.
Keep your voice down, somebody might hear.
I'm going to buy you a very large drink.
Gene ponders Alex's offer for a moment, then gets to his feet.
You seeing Boris again?
No. Why? You're jealous.
Don't flatter yourself, sweetheart.
As Alex leaves, Gene stubs out his cigar, then struts to the coat stand in the corner of his office. He throws his coat over his arm and walks out. At Luigi's...
Luigi, put them on my tap. I owe you one anyway.
What for?
For not saying anything to the gov about me going AWOL.
All right. I accept. On one condition.
What?
Stay. I saw you filling out the form. You posted it?
Not yet. I need a referee.
He takes a form from inside his pocket.
Will I do?
Guess so.
Alex rips it up.
Now you have to stay.
You haven't got much bloody choice, have I? You're not such a bad copper, you know.
Thanks, Ray.
For a bird.
Alex smiles to herself as Ray carries a tray of drinks over to a table. Summers walks in and stands facing Alex. She approaches him.
Well, Alex? Do you have an answer for me?
I know you could be my only chance of getting back. And you know how much I miss my daughter. I would do anything to see her again.
But what you want me to do, what you want me to be, is corrupt and dishonest. I'm sorry, but I simply can't. And so the answer is thanks, but no thanks. I don't know how, but I'll find my own way back.
I had a feeling you were going to say something like that. Oh, well. If I can't change your mind, maybe Operation Rose will.
Summers turns and heads out, leaving Alex visibly shaken. She notices that Summers has left a single red rose lying beside a play setting on a table. Alex goes to the bar, and Luigi hands her a red paper napkin.
You think you did the right thing, Signorina Drake?
I think so, Luigi.
Alex glances across the restaurant to where Jean's sitting, sipping a glass of wine.
I left and shook his hand and made my
crime fighting Omid Jalili style later tonight. Comedy on the way at 10:40 here on BBC One.
For years and years I roamed. I gazed a gazeless stare at all the millions here. We must have died alone a long, long time ago.
You might not have much time left.
Alex, stay with us.
You know, I've had harder shites than you.
What are you doing?
Friday nights after a curry. I don't sit there and ruminate about the individual's role in society, my son. I flush him away.
Raimondo, go fetch me my search warrant.
When did you have time to get a search warrant?
Ray brings a crowbar.
What do we do now?
Nicky! We're the police!
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Ways and means, buddy. Ways and means.
Hey, you got a light there, mate?
It's a man in a ski mask and jeans beaten up.